You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And Del Torre.
Same corner, same time. It's the Dallas show.
It's the Dallas show. It's boys, it's good show. To get
a Dallas was a show.
Yeah, I missed it a little bit, but I caught up.
How was the rewatch?
Five stars doing five star stuff.
Yeah, we got to get more five stars. I like that tweet, Dan. Like, you got to get five stars and do five star things, man.
They just do cool shit.
They really do. They really do. How's your weekend? How's everybody's weekend? Let's catch up real quick before we get into this Victory Monday vibe.
Man, I was in Gainesville this week. Shout out to everybody that that I got the chance to meet and say hello to. I tied one on in Gainesville this weekend. We got up there pretty early Saturday morning, bounced around a couple bars. One of my best friends, Mike, was in town, so got to hang out with him for a bit.
Shout out to Mike.
Swung by the Florida Victorious tailgate. Had to answer to some tweets that I've had to them. So shout out to the Florida Victoria staff for keeping tabs. I obviously went to the game, had a fantastic time, went over to Midtown. After that, ended up at downtown somehow. I texted Eric Zika. I'm like, Zika, where are you at, my boy? He's like, I'm at Cantina. I'm like, well, I'm almost at White Buffalo. I was like, oh, man, there's a line. He's like, well, what if you get a table? I was like, in. So ended up with a table at White Buffalo. And then I'll be honest with you. Acted like ice with people that were trying to stand around my table, would point at the security guard. I was like, that person doesn't need to be standing there. That person doesn't need to be standing there.
How many people at the table?
There was five of us. Five of us. And then at about 11:45, I'm like, it's time to go.
So 11:45 is washed. That's washed.
It was time.
Great exit, though.
Yeah, no, it was good time. I actually felt bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Sunday morning. I had to come back to Tampa. There was a big event for the American Cancer Society last night. And then today, got the chance to play in the golf tournament. Lo and behold, Trey Burton was the celebrity that I was partnered with in the golf tournament here. So he got to play with my
Trey foursome. Partnered with you, my boy.
Yeah, you're no. Yeah, no, it was awesome, man. It was awesome to have Trey there. Riedel Anthony was there. A bunch of actually former Gators were there, including who did I text you guys was going to be? Oh, yeah, Mike Pearson, former Gators offensive lineman, was a group in front of us. So he'll be on the show in a couple weeks. So it was a fantastic weekend, and my voice is a little shot.
That's always a good weekend when the voice is shot, man. How was your vibes this weekend, Nick?
Good vibes. I have not been able to properly troll because it had been a month, and we weren't going to punch down for LIU. Had just been dragging Florida Victorious win videos into the trash, so was able to get my troll on Saturday night. Dropped another good one today. Good vibes. Saturday was at basketball practice Saturday morning. Before that, little farmer's market action with the wife and the daughter
on a game day.
Yep. Got there. So game was 3:30. Anytime the game's not at noon, hit the farmer's market. Farmer's market opens at 8:00. Baby's awake at 6:30 because she doesn't respect the dad. has a job that will keep him up late. No respect, no thought from Frankie about dad's sleep schedule. So she was up at 6:30. We were at the farmer's market by 8. Home by 9.
Man.
Very nice. Very nice. Shout out to Frankie for not respecting the work hours and the sleep.
Yes. No respect.
Corey, how was your weekend? You had a lot going on.
I love you. It was, man, maybe I'm the bad luck, bro, because I didn't watch the game. I mean, the offense just started clicking. Maybe I'm the problem, right? No? Am I lagging?
Maybe. No, maybe you are. In honor of a Taylor Swift album, maybe you are.
He's not going to get the Taylor reference.
No, he's not going to get the Taylor reference.
No, I'm definitely not going to get it.
Yeah, hi, me. It's on the problem. It's me.
Yeah, but I had a good weekend. Yeah, I had a good weekend. I think I'm lagging a little bit. I don't know why.
Just on your end, you're fine. Just keep talking.
Cool. Tweet through it. So I covered the Miami Northwest and Miami Central football game. I got this whole relationship with Dade County and Adidas and the Super 7 teams down there. Really all the athletes, not just football. So this is my first weekend. I had a busy week, stressed out. I handle stress well, but definitely stressed out. Stress ain't always a bad thing. So I was pushed to my limits, man. By the time Saturday hit, I had to do a game time, a game day live type show. They asked me to go into the booth, like all last minute. Hey, man, we lost a guy in the booth. Can you go in the booth? No, I'm just, that's not my skill set, my brother. I'm a team player, but today we're just not going to put Mr. Corey in a position to be embarrassed, Outside of that, man, just a star-studded game as far as, celebrities, former players. Charleston White pulled up, John Wall. I was able to do some content with Charleston White, Cam Kitchens, Tutu Atwell, Keir Thomas, the who's who of football, of NFL guys that didn't have a bye week. That one was supposed to be there, but that one ended up in Tallahassee for that game. But no, I had a good time, but I missed my Gators this weekend, man. The offense looked good. The Dallas coming out party was amazing. I got to catch it on the playback, condensed style. It's not the same.
But I'll tell you what, it's an elite way to watch the game. There's a couple people in the chat. Jordan will be here shortly. Anthony, always good seeing you. Austin, great seeing you. Canes for life, thanks for the super chat.
You're paying to troll me, man.
Yeah, I appreciate your $5. Silk, I know you hate my Canes. You try to tell everybody who listen, I'll give my Canes a respect, bro. Yeah, Miami's undefeated. Thanks for your $5. That's what you get on the show today. Feel free to continue to comment more. The Gators do win, but before we get into that, as we wait for Jordan here, Corey, why don't you give us a Brunt ad read and we'll get on with the show.
One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg is the best of the best and can get you the lowest price. And it don't cost you nothing to find out if you can get that lowest price. Visit them at bruntinsurance.com or give them a call at 954-589-2204. Boats, homes, auto, your life, anything with wheels, I'm pretty sure he can insure it. 954-589-2204. Big coverages, big policies. Nick, sleep at the wheel, man.
Nick.
Oh, my headphones broke while nice. You were talking. Greg, what a do, baby. Dang.
Man.
Live show.
What happened to my voice? A lot, man. A lot. A lot happened to my voice. Screaming.
A golfing. Win. You finally won.
Yeah. Finally won. I told you I would cheer on the Gators. Gators do beat Texas, the number 9 team in the country, 29-21. Break it down the game a little bit. Gators up 19-7 at halftime, including a game changer impact with a blocked punt and a safety. The first time that's happened since what seems like the 1980s. The Gators led by Dallas Wilson, who had a fantastic first game of the year. DJ Lagway, 21 of 28 for 298 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Dallas Wilson, 6 receptions, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns, including maybe one of the best touchdowns we've seen in a Gator uniform in quite some time. Jane Ball, with RB2 and RB3 out of the game, finally gets his chance to shine. 27 carries for 107 yards, including a great touchdown on the first drive. 6 sacks for the Florida Gators, 35 pressures of Arch Manning. Gentlemen, Nick, I know you were there, so we can start with you. What are your thoughts of the game?
Yeah. I'll start with the defense. All week, Gerald Chapman was lighting into the interior defense, talking about that they don't have any sacks. They only have 2. That they weren't good, yada, yada, yada. And then 6 sacks against Texas. I thought they did a really, really good job of winning on first down. Texas's average yards to gain on third was 11.1, which kind of let them pin their ears back. Thought the defense played really, really well, especially up front. And especially early on in the game, kind of setting the tone. Obviously, I think DJ looked better. The interception, his arm was hit, but like it's also thrown into like double coverage. So kind of a pass, but it's also a pattern that we've seen. Thought Jaden Ball looked really good. Yeah. And then obviously Dallas Wilson's Dallas. Like he's – we've been saying it for a minute. Like he's a difference maker, size, speed, physicality. Just he's going to help the offense, any offense he's in. Glad that he's in orange and blue. But I think the one gripe I would have, and I think we've kind of just seen it with the coaching staff, that you had an opportunity. So like Texas probably is shut out without the fumble, and Texas gets points off the fumble. But like you have a chance in the third quarter, you get a stop. Hey, go be aggressive and really extend it. And we just haven't seen that with this coaching staff, the way that they attack things when you have a chance to like really separate and create some space. So probably my one gripe.
Yeah, baby.
Hit the A gap.
Better late than never. Your boy's in the building with the helmet on because we got a dub. Let's go, baby.
Bro, we called power and he ran counter. It took him a little while to find the line, but here he is.
Found it. I'm happy to be having this helmet on, though, fellas.
I think overall thoughts on the game was I think the first drive. First two drives of the game, Florida goes on that like 17 play, 8 minute drive, methodically marches down the field. And then
it's a Billy Napier wet dream, Nick.
Well, I think that's important because I always say, like, hey, if I'm an opposing coach playing in a place like the Swamp and I win the toss, we're deferring. I don't care if my offense is better, we're deferring because we're going to put the home team's offense out there to bring the crowd down. And I think that long drive that results in a touchdown, not like a deflating field goal or a turnover or a punt. Now the crowd's back into it. Like nothing ever happened. They're ready to go. And then you get a good defensive stop. I think it was like a 7-play drive. They picked up one first down. Arch got loose running the ball, but overall really, really fast start for Florida. Thought they played really well.
Corey.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of Nick said. The lack of aggressiveness is always something that sticks out with this team when we get leads. But outside of that, man, the offense, it looked like it's found its groove. Run game-wise, just, you know, nothing was perfect. But at least from a schematic standpoint and at least from an execution standpoint, they seemed to find somewhat of a groove. If we had any ounce of that in the first the games versus LSU and Miami, I think we could pull away with a win in those matchups. But it's good to see DJ Lagway. Some of the throws he makes is absolutely crazy. The sidearm throw, the spin on it, the velocity on a throw like that, that awkward motion is just crazy to be able to flick that like that. So, the quarterback is still the quarterback. I know some people are ready to jump ship on his talents, but, you know, you just got to be absolutely crazy to think a kid goes from what we seen last year to not being able to do any of that. But he's starting to find his groove. But there's some things he has to clean up. There's some throws he missed here and there, but nobody's ever going to play perfect. He has two very good receivers, two young boys, man, who are starting to be the leaders in that room with VB3 and Dallas. Dallas coming out party was everything that we kind of hyped and expected when he flipped from Oregon. So it's just good to see the playmakers. Jaden Ball getting the carries that he got. Shout out to that defensive front four. As many guys that I just speak to the amount of talent on this team. This team is absolutely loaded with talent, good evals, right? We're missing a lot of guys in that front four, and they absolutely harassed Arch Manning all evening. So it just speaks to the value. Every team that we face this fall, we have the talent to beat. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that's going to step on the field that's just there's a gap in talent. And this game speaks to that. Every game that we play, no matter LSU, Miami's a good football team, but we were very well in that game with no offense. So, yeah, this team looked like it's supposed to look, you know, as far as the talent level.
And real quick before Jordan gets to go, I think our show at least, you know, a lot of fans were like, put Tramiel in, and it's over. I don't think we ever got to that point here. But I get that, like, when you're in a three-game losing streak, you don't want to hear, like, hey, he hasn't played quarterback since December. And especially when Billy says it, if we parrot what Billy's saying, it's not going to be received well. But I think Billy has said, like, you're going to see DJ get better and better as he gets both more practice reps, because he didn't throw the ball from – December against Tulane until the week before LIU. And I think you're just going to see DJ continue to get better as he gets those reps. It's almost like the first month of the season is essentially like a fall camp for him while he tries to get his feet back under
his staff too.
I think a lot of people felt gaslit, Nick. I think that's the issue.
Yeah. And I was talking to somebody about that. I think I probably could have done it because I'm at practice when reporters aren't. And I think in my mind, I was like, oh, he'll be fine. Like, he'll pick up where he left off, and didn't really put enough weight into, like, probably not. Like, he has, like, the, you know, coaches will tell you, oh, it doesn't matter about the timing and stuff, and the media makes too much of it. But, like, there's probably something to it. There's a reason why quarterbacks and receivers go out and throw routes on their own all the time. You know, on their own in the spring, on their own in the fall, on their own in the summer, there's probably a reason they're doing that. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on DJ. I think we've put it on him. I think he puts it on himself. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on every single quarterback at the University of Florida. That just comes with the job.
Let's get into the game a bit more here. Again, DJ Lagway goes 21 of 28. Or 298 yards, probably all around one of his best performances at UF. You guys would agree?
For sure.
Yeah. For sure. And I think that we've been looking for a complete game from DJ Lagway since, I guess, maybe the Kentucky game last year. Probably his most complete game since then. You know, when, and obviously Jaden Ball went off in that game. But perhaps one of his best, if not his best performance at the University of Florida. And I think he needed that. He talked a little greasy in the bye week, saying that this was going to kind of be a coming out party for him, or that he was going to make an impact, and that he gave his Tim Tebow-like speech for himself, that this is going to be an opportunity. And then certainly getting Dallas Wilson out there, who, in my opinion, just looks – leaps and bounds different than any wide receiver that the Gators have right now in terms of size, speed, ability to catch the ball, getting his feet in. And then I think it was a 55-yard touchdown that he had. I don't think that there's any other player on the Gators roster that would have made that touchdown.
We seem to go more vertical on the offense as well. I know we did some sideways stuff, but there were more vertical throws that we hit down the field that I thought was missing in the first three or four games for sure.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, you had the Eugene Wilson 60-yard catch, which I tweeted incorrectly that he stared him down the whole time. It looked like it when I was watching live at the stadium. Obviously, it was a little bit different. He checked off the safety there, but he had that one. He had the big Dallas Wilson throw. But, you know, all around a good game for him and the Florida Gators wide receivers. Dallas Wilson leads the team with 111 yards. And then the other freshman phenom, Vernell Brown, 72 yards on three receptions, including 24 yards for his yards per reception there. Tony Levingston, one catch for 9 yards. Aiden Mizell, four catches for 18 yards. Got to figure out a way to get him the ball. J. Michael Sturdivant, 42 yards. Jaden Ball, 16 yards. Haney Hansen, 30 yards. I think I said Eugene Wilson had the long catch. Vernell Brown had that long catch for 60-plus yards or so. Haney Hansen, 30 yards. But 298, 14.2 yards per reception, two touchdowns. Any thoughts? And welcome Dallas Wilson. Catch, fumble recovery on his very first play. So,
yeah, man, I think them boys play lights out. I think we all know that we play some complimentary football this game. Offense, defense, as well as special teams chimed in and made a big play for us with the block punt. I feel like that was a nice time to kind of dial it up. You kind of had them a little bit backed up there to where most people would try to hold up and kind of get a return going so you can kind of get better field position, but they decided to call up a block and it came through perfect. But yeah, man, I feel like this is the identity we need to roll with offensively. As I'm looking at the stats, I see Jaden Ball had 27 carries, I believe, for 100 yards. Like I need him in that 20 range of getting carries. I mean, Duke Clark did amazing. Watching him play, I'm like, okay, he's a smaller back, but he's finding the holes. So I'm not mad with the backup getting in and getting some reps too, but as we can see, we're fully capable of getting Jaden Ball over 20 carries and somebody else can get, what, Duke Clark at 9. So, like, I'm cool with that. I do get a little 9, 10, but the bulk of the share needs to go to 13, and I feel like we were successful doing that. Lagway had a good game, like we all mentioned. I love that about it. Defense continued to play lights out with some guys missing, which is amazing for us. And Nick, you said no sacks, and we got a lot of sacks, brother. We did our thing. I was just talking crap, but yeah, man.
No, they overall, got
man, I really like it, man. The defense did their thing. They've been playing lights out for us all year. It was finally time for the offense to rise to the occasion and do it. So I'm really proud of these boys, man. I feel like this is a win that was much needed. And it's funny, even though we had the Friday show, I told them, I said, this will be the type of Gators win that we'll get. Everybody's turned their back on us, and it's just that one win where you felt like we had no shot. Everybody's going into the game like this was over with before it even started, and here we go, rise to the occasion on the ball game.
I think every game we go and play, we're going to be in it. These guys love Billy. It's a very talented roster. You know, it's just other takes and opinions around that. But I don't think there's nobody that's just going to come out and absolutely smoke us because this team is very good and these guys are going to fight for them. But it shouldn't take you 5 weeks to get to this type of form. Like, this is big boy football. You got to come out in this league prepared, ready to play. You know, it's not the NFL where you get 3 or 4 preseason games to figure it out. So it's just we'll see how it all plays out. We still got some games. Texas A&M is going to be a big one, but it's just a lot of figuring out. Like Ball, it shouldn't take us 4 or 5 games to figure out if Ball should get that many carries. Like we knew that kind of game one. Hey, bro, you need to feed 13 as much as you can. So also, yeah, Kamani got to clean up his play. I like that comment down there. Kamani he made a play towards the end of the game that was a big play, et cetera, but he's on the other side. Devin Moore is playing great football. He's playing the best corner on the team. So who's ever on the other side of Devin is about to get some smoke. So Kamani's got to come with his game on point because Devin Moore is out there playing like he's trying to get a check in a few months, bro. That NFL check.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Gators are very fortunate that they were able to get some impact on Arch Manning. I mean, 35 pressures. I don't know if you could see it in the game, but Kormani, a lot of the DBs were getting cooked all game. And if there was some more time or some passes that were hit, it could have gone the opposite way very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There was some explosives left out there for sure. They left
it. Yeah. You know, and if this staff, and we'll talk about it, these general managers are going to get greasy and start tweeting shit. I mean, and don't say it was about rivals either. I see Florida Ray here. He said, Dan, you're my guy. Can't be mad. The GM for the Sunbelt Billy tweet. Let them talk their shit when they can. My brother in Christ, you're 21 and 22 as a program. Nick, and I know you're going to probably have to be quiet during this time, but you can't tweet stuff. And then everybody's like, oh, he's talking about rivals. Well, if he was talking about the rivals, he wouldn't have deleted it. It's about the fan base that they hate. And I get it. The reason that people don't like Billy Napier and his staff is because they're 21 and 22. Billy Napier's staff hates the fan base. Billy Napier, after the game, had the opportunity to like shout out the fans or cheering his name by the tunnel. He ran right through it. He ran a 4-2-40 through the tunnel so he didn't have to talk to them. He had the opportunity to thank the staff or thank the fans, the 90,000 people that were there that have voices like me today. He didn't have that. The only person that said anything was Coach Pira, like 24 hours after the game. But you're the general manager 17 minutes after beating Texas, and you're like, Sunbelt Billy and the boys, get out of here, dude. All of you guys, get out of here. Sorry.
Oh. Now go ahead, give me your bag, fam.
I ain't mad at you.
Yeah.
I ain't 17 minutes after the game.
Go solo, go ISO, dog. Cook them.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, bro. Got to read the room better than that, man. You got to, that's your total record, the expectations of this season. That win, that's good if we're Virginia Tech. That's good if we're Georgia Tech. That's good if we're North Carolina State. Getting one big win versus Texas. This is the University of Florida. This is not Mississippi State. This is not, you know, Louisiana. We expect to beat Texas. And we also, with the roster and the, you know, the expectation of this season was playoffs, not to maybe beat Texas and maybe beat Georgia and we get eight wins. So you got to read the room. You got to go on an absolute streak here for this thing to make sense. And that just goes to show you, right? You beat the top 10 team. And you didn't get a whole lot of favor from this fan base. That's read the room. Like, you just beat Texas, and we're happy for the win. But still, bro, like, nobody's saying, oh, let's just keep Billy. You just kept the chance off for one more week. That first drive, I like it. I like it. He's showing some resolve. I like it. But all you really did in the grand scheme of it, them people was ready to boo and do some crazy things. You scored the first drive. And then they're like, oh, we got a chance here. We might win. They just start cheering, and we win the game. But at any moment, had that went south, yeah, he knows that, too. That's why he didn't thank the fans.
But yeah, ahead, yeah. I mean, I just have my fired tweet. It's just going to be Sunbelt Billy and the boys.
Sorry, Nick. So how do y'all feel if we were to run the table? You think we got a shot at the playoffs?
Buddy. 9-3, the wins. Yeah, 9-3 in CFP. Undefeated. Jordan, 9-3 in CFP.
Brother, undefeated.
I'm just saying, fellas, like the teams that we coming up against is still some. Still
Jordan's some back. Jordan's orange and blue glasses are bro, back.
We lost to USF hey, cut 3 weeks right now. You know what's coming out?
Orange
ago.
And blue. Because he bleeds it, Dan.
Yeah, hey, I bleed it. I don't bleed Billy Napier. Mike
Pearson and Rito Anthony, who I all saw today. I was like, oh, what if we go undefeated? You would have thought that I was Nate Bargatze telling a joke.
Why are you snitching on the boys, man?
Arena in Nashville. Get out of here, George. Undefeated.
Why are you snitching on the boys, bro? I ain't want them to be public.
My boy had to warm it up, bro. My boy Ladway was a slow start. Like, and that was crippling to our season. I knew I had a feeling it was going to start slow early in the season, but I did not imagine this slow. So now that I think that we're picking it up, it ain't impossible. If this cat continues to play at this level and we continue to, you feel me, make better play calls, I can tell y'all one thing I am mad about. I'm starting to get on y'all level with the screens now. I'm done with the bubble screens. Now. I'm done. At first, I was happy with it, but after watching the last game, I'm like, bro,
get it out of
why
here.
Are we calling a screen every drive? Every drive.
Every drive.
Yeah. 2 to 3 screens. I'm like, I'm kind of sick of it now. But besides that, I think Lagway's coming along, and I feel like we needed him for a while. And
He just gave me another leap of faith, I guess. Just watching
Jordan, don't get sucked in, my brothers. Thunbelt Billy is back.
He did, bro. He gave me some more faith, bro. Because I had such high hopes for this season, dog. It hurts me to learn so bad to know that we're
really about to learn you something, boy.
Nah, bro. I got faith in my boy still. They brought me back alive.
Yeah,
he is still throwing in triple coverage. I just read that comment. You are right. He is still doing that. But he's still a puppy. Like, we got to be realistic with the whole situation. He's not a veteran quarterback yet. He is still doing some bonehead throws. But I think he gets comfortable, I think Billy may be more open to calling better plays for him. I think maybe
better Billy's plays, buddy. I'm telling you, you've seen the best of Billy's plays. I'm telling you right now. There are no better plays.
Do we ever think of this as a scenario? Maybe Billy's calling these plays because he knows Lagway isn't comfortable with certain stuff. Was that ever a thought in our head? And now
we thought that for two other quarterbacks. Now on the third quarterback, Jordan. Now the first two quarterbacks, I thought that. But now on the third quarterback, it's just like, all right, bro, who do you need? Tom Brady?
I mean, I ain't saying we need all that. I'm just more of saying that, like, it's a possibility that maybe he knew, because obviously he's at practice every day. He's probably seen his practices weren't the best, all that. And you feel me? So he's like, I'm not about to go in the game and complicate this kid. So I'm going to keep it real simple, and hopefully our talents can take us to a victory. Obviously, that wasn't happening. So that's my little leap of faith in what I got. Maybe the play calling was so vanilla because he didn't have the confidence in Lagway to, you feel me, do all these things. But now that he's showing him drives, it's getting better.
He's had a vanilla bean offense since Arizona State and Clemson. I mean, this is pure Madagascar vanilla bean ice cream offense for 15 years.
Oh,
I mean, at least put some sprinkles or some chocolate syrup on it.
Tune in Thursday to the list show, man. We'll update y'all, man.
Yeah,
Jordan, but just tune in Thursday. We got the list remix.
I mean, we made some changes, Jordan. You're more than welcome to come on, Nick. Obviously, reasons you're not invited on that show.
I get why I'm going to present both sides, because I'm mostly on your side, Dan. Like, I get why you would be in his position and be like fed up, pissed off. Like, you people are just, I think Jordan or Jacob's been with Billy for like 8 years, and like, they see it, they can't comment, they see it, and I get it. Like, you're feeling good, it's a huge win. Fire the tweet off, you feel good about it. I remember seeing it being like,
the QB coach is searching mentions and liking tweets that were talking shit about him months ago.
Oh, that's cool.
My brother,
that's your name after you beat Texas.
We had a table at White Buffalo ready for you to hang out.
I see you in the building, Dad. You was at White Buffalo celebrating the dub.
I mean, celebrate the, what are we doing here? Go ahead, Nick. Sorry.
So like, I get it. I get like wanting to be like, take that. You're on that side, stay on that side. You know, we've heard all the bad, like, but like you said, you got to read the room, man. You got to read the room. That's not the time. If you wanted to send that out after you ran the table and won a national championship, buddy, hit tweet.
You're 2-3.
If you run the table and you win a natty, hit tweet.
And this is, I've got a problem with Andrew's comment. He's here. Dan getting mad about Billy not shouting out the fans is silly, especially when they were all wrong, including Dan. Crucified him for a timeout when the clock stopped. My brother in Christ, yes. During the press conference, he said that he called a timeout to get Austin Barber back on the field, not because of rule 335. I don't think you think I believe that Billy Napier knows what to do there. In the press conference, he said, hey, we called a timeout to get our best player back on the field, not because of the timeout. Right. It wasn't because of the it wasn't because of the rule. He didn't mention the rule.
Yeah, the rule is explained to them in the moment. Like, when the refs are going through it and Texas declines the runoff, they come to Billy. I'm not saying he knew it before. I didn't know. It's a new rule. No, we were all sitting in the press box being like, what are you doing?
Dude,
what is happening?
I'm 1.5 22 ounce surf sides into the game, and you think that I'm supposed to know rule 335? Anyway,
I think that's a. I'm gonna go on the over there, Dan. I think more surf sides were had. I think surfs were up.
The surfs were up.
All this stuff just repeats itself, bro. Like, it's just, we've been through this. If you're a Gator fan, you know, once the staff turns against the fans and that energy shows its face, like, that's the beginning of the end. We saw with McElwain, we saw with Dan Mullen. Only one that didn't really go full balls to the walls with it was Muschamp.
Yeah. I think everybody knew at that point, you know, you had the 4-8 year and next year you went in. But anyway,
checking in.
Do want to give Jaden Ball his flowers. It did take QB2 or RB2 and RB3 not playing this game. I am surprised. Are you guys surprised at all that we haven't seen Kanan Daniels this year?
Yeah.
I thought that he was going to be a bigger part of this team this year. But I'll give Jaden Ball credit. Those were very tough 107 yards.
Yeah, for sure.
He was fighting his way through.
No, that's a legit defense, man. That front four, that front seven that they got over in Texas is real deal, bro.
Yeah.
I kind of had a feeling that we were going to kind of win the game. It's just by how well we were running the ball. And like, it was tough yards, don't get me wrong, but every time he fallen for like 4 or 5, maybe they'll pop one for 8. Duke Clark will get in there, pop one for 6. I'm like, oh, every time we run it, it looks like it's really effective. So if they ain't going to stop this, we're going to be good. Yeah. So I was happy watching it overall. And obviously I heard the commentators and stuff saying like they haven't been ran on like this all year. Obviously they haven't played many. Besides, I think they played Ohio State week 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was probably their biggest matchup as far as like size and a good run offense. But besides that, they really ain't faced nobody else that could run the ball as well as we could.
Yeah. I thought Duke Clark ran well, 9 touches, 38 yards, 4.2 yards per attempt. Went out with an injury. What was the injury? They didn't announce it at the game. Do we know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I was watching it during the game. And couldn't tell what they're working on. Did not get to practice today. I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay.
Eventually, they're going to have to play Kanan Daniels because people just keep getting hurt.
Bro, I was so I knew that DJ was okay. So DJ, when he put that play action bootleg, threw the ball away, came up limping. He goes in the medical tent, and I'm just like, binoculars on the medical tent. And people are kind of going in and out. They're bringing stuff in and out. And then Ryan O'Hara walks over and, like, peeks his head in. And he's holding the iPad, which they go over, like, the film plays on the sideline. And he's, like, talking back and forth. And then he goes in with the iPad. I'm like, oh, DJ's fine. They're literally in there doing whatever they're doing. And he is reviewing film while the defense is on the field. I was like, he'll be back.
That continual calf, like, little nick up. I know he had an issue with it at camp. It frightens the hell out of me because that can lead to a bigger injury. So I do want to say that, like, that part of when he's coming up gimpy, even if it's just temporarily, I know there's an issue there, and that scares the shit out of me a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think between an Achilles or between a hamstring, I mean, that calf is a very important muscle. And, yeah, he didn't look 100% coming out of that tent. Offensive line, one of the best games that they've played this season. Only allow 1 QB hit, 0 sacks, 6 hurries allowed, and 7 pressures. Obviously, the 1 hit, 6 hurries equals the number of pressures that they had. Damian George and Jake Slaughter are your 2 best when it comes to pass blocking. When it comes to run blocking, Najee Harris. Sorry, we're throwing in wide receivers and tight ends here. And then Bryce Lovett, he only played a couple. Jake Slaughter, not great scoring when it comes to run blocking. But, you know, ultimately the offensive line does what it needs to do. Florida did have multiple opportunities to kind of put this game away, went pretty conservative there after, what, maybe halfway through the third quarter. Don't really go for the kill shot. They do have 1 pass when they're up 29-7, have the ball. try to have a somewhat deep pass. I think it went to Eugene Wilson. I'm trying to remember. It kind of flanked the right side of the field going south. Ball was a little bit underthrown. And then Texas does end up scoring a couple of touchdowns to get the game a little bit closer. But what are you guys' thoughts before we move on to the defensive side of the ball to round this out?
That's it. I mean, Eugene Wilson, I wanted to see him just make some more plays. I know that's one we've been waiting on for a few years, but it's only one football. The young freshmen are playing better than him right now. But I do want to see him just for the sake of his career, you know, his expectations as an athlete, just try to find his way, you know, in this offense somewhat.
Yeah, there was a couple times where, like, Dallas is balling, the offense is moving, and then all my Twitter mentions are like, is Eugene dead? Is Eugene there? I'm like, bro, like, I get it. I get you want to see him. But it's like you just said, like, hey, there's only one ball. But it's like, okay, do you want to take Dallas off the field in the middle of a 111-yard, two-touchdown game? Like, the other one was, and I think this is probably because of some PTSD, the way the running backs have been used. Mm-hmm. But people are like, why the hell isn't Jaden Ball getting in the second quarter? Why the hell isn't Jaden Ball? I'm like, bro, Duke's balling. Like, they're both at like 4.7 per carry. I'm like, I get that you might have some PTSD. You want Jaden to get more carries, but, like, pick your spots. Right now the freshman is toting the rock, and you're like, hey, get him out of here. We want Jaden. I'm like, he's doing well.
Because the ceiling is higher, so the possibility of a big run happening is likely going to happen more with 13 than 20. Well, I got respect for everybody that run in that room, but it's a difference, man. I like Reggie Bush and Lindell White, but give me hand the ball to Reggie Bush every chance.
20 is faster than 13.
Very true. That don't always mean that's not always, you know what I'm saying? You got to break tackles sometimes to get big runs and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't think we blocking clean enough. Like, even Jaden Ball's touchdown run, that wasn't blocked clean. He made a safety look goofy in the hole because that safety had a clean shot on him. Your average running back gets tackled right there, but not Jaden Ball.
And then props to the Swamp. Dan, you were down there. I remember texting somebody being like, hey, man, how is it down there? Because it sounds loud up here. The shout out to the boys, Snapback Sports, was able to get one of the guys a ticket. He super complimentary. He's a Texas fan. They run a channel. They're going to all kinds of games looking for the best sports experience. He super complimentary of the environment of the game. And then he asked me after, he was like, how was that one of the loudest you've ever heard? I'm like, buddy, I was in college when Tebow was. We're talking different things, but the Swamp was awesome Saturday. Fans were in it throughout the entire thing. That's the other thing. People are like, what was the loudest moment? I'm like, the floor of decibels was high, and it kind of just stayed that way for 60 minutes. Awesome crowd, awesome environment. Shout out, hats off, much respect.
Yeah, that was a 60 minute stander of a game. You know, I'll give credit to the fans. I think that they did their job, and we're going to talk about defense, but I think that they did an unbelievable job causing multiple penalties, multiple issues for Texas throughout the game. The Swamp was loud. The money sign thing, guys, it's got to go. I mean, Jeff Collins was here for just a short period of time. The Jeff Collins legacy of the money down.
And he got me blocked. Let's get rid of that.
Bro, it's everywhere. You see like high school highlights, they're doing it too. But like this doesn't make any noise.
No, I mean, but I will give the fans credit. I'm not saying that. The ooh-ah during Tom Petty's gotta go, the money down thing. But
you know, like the ooh-ah? The ooh-ah's for the ladies and kids, man. You gotta let the ooh-ah stick. Grown men can't say ooh-ah.
There's a lot more dudes saying ooh-ah than women and children.
And they got to go.
But the Swamp was loud, very loud. I don't know. You know, a lot of people are giving Gators hype. A lot of people that cover Texas were like, that's the loudest stadium. Man, that was a loud stadium, but the Gators have been louder. But shout out to the fans. Shout out to the fans.
Shout out to the chat. The chat not hearing none of this Billy hype up. Everybody but Ray is like, get him out of here. But Ray is, I think Ray's on payroll.
Yeah, Ray is just Jordan. That's Jordan typing away.
Yeah, that's why Jordan's not been talking.
Right, that's my little throwaway account. I'm
always going. Your burner, your KD account.
Yeah.
Bring back Gator Bait. I said we do that. We weren't doing the Gator Chomp during kickoffs. Ban wasn't teeing that one up. The move back, you suck, is back in full force, like it never
was. Back for a little bit.
Move, yeah, no, I know, but it's it's back.
Man, we just can't. One moment, we were just canceling anything, man. The pandemic was wild time. Everything was getting canceled, man. You couldn't say you suck.
Yeah, no, you couldn't say you suck. You couldn't say Gator bait.
You couldn't say anything, bro. Aunt your mama got taken off the pancake box, like.
Oh, about that.
Rest in peace to Mr. Jemima. All right, let's talk about that.
Real quick. VB3. We talked about Dallas a bunch. I know we talked about VB3 a little bit. Dude just mossed. Like, good pass, but like even better catch. VB3 doesn't look 6'3.
What a dog. Pedigree.
Oh, just went up and snatched it off somebody's head. Thank God he survived.
Hey, speaking of pedigree, I think we need to go ahead and get the commit from Young Scarlet, man, like yesterday, bro.
Hey, my little man see that football on the screen. He don't play.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the defensive side of the ball. Before we do that, go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. Met somebody at a tailgate on a Saturday who's wearing a Home Field Apparel shirt that he bought. He didn't go to UF. I think he went to NC State. He's friends with my buddy Mike. They came down here. And I said, hey, man, use promo code Stadium Gale. He said, can I use it for not Florida Gator stuff? And of course you can. Anything on the website. That's a true story. I didn't make that up for the pod. StadiumandGale.com or Stadium and Gale. Check out homefieldapparel.com. We'll get you the best vintage logos out there. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. During the preview show on Friday, Nick said that the Gators would have, I'm just going to double check here, when I asked, would the Gators have 1.5 sacks or more? Nick proudly proclaimed the over. So did I. But this is about Nick. Nick said under 1.5 sacks. The Gators end up with 8 sacks, 6 QB hits, and 22 hurries. Arch Manning looked like a member of the Ryan Leaf family out there. Guys, shout out to the Gator defense.
Man, I'm going to be honest, though. When that boy, I got to tune in late in the fourth quarter and his helmet came off. He looked relieved. He was like, thank God. Get a breath of fresh air real quick. Shout out to that front four. You know, very talented bunch. We could get very deep. A lot of players is out, and players are just stepping up. 33 was playing like a man possessed. Didn't see him play a lot like that, you know, in the past. So just good to see these guys step up when they get the moment and the time to, you know, opportunity. That's the best chance right there, bro. You know, people go down. It sounds cliche, but people go down, you get a chance. And versus Texas, as an older guy, bro, like, that's good film.
Brian Taylor.
I was just going to say, do you guys know that Brian Taylor was ranked as the best defensive player in that game?
Yeah, he's playing like a man.
He was going in, though. I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm all for half sacks, half tackles, stuff like that. But I think Jaden Robinson stole half a sack from Brian Taylor. I'm pretty sure Brian Taylor had like grabbed the groceries, gone, and swiped the card. And then Jaden Robinson was like, oh, let me grab that bag for you. And I'll walk you to the car. Brian Taylor probably should have had just 2 solo sacks. I think Tyreek Sapp had a really good game. Mekhi Barreau had a like 26-yard celebration on like second down after a tackle for loss. And I'm looking, I'm like, did someone call a timeout? What is he at? And I see him like jogging back. I'm like, oh, buddy, yo, about to regret that celebration after jogging 25 yards back to get back on side. But that, I think they got pressure from the interior guys. I think those interior guys who in this defense are mostly asked to kind of just be facilitators, take on double teams. I think they were able to create pressure from inside, which then helps guys like Jaden Woods. We have a new photographer, and I don't know if Jaden Woods will ever get a holding call, but one of the pictures we have of him looks like he's being choked. So hoping for justice for Jaden, and we get a holding call at some point this year.
Jaden Woods is going to be an All-American one day.
What an animal. What an animal. 15 is Himothy. This makes plays, bro. Even that the one pass play where they ran like a screen and the receiver's coming from the back side. He's just disciplined, on point. He read it from go. You can tell he just studied a lot of film, the way he diagnosed it. Like, that kid is impressive, you know. Just a great, I would say, pass rusher and just a student of the game, you know. Shot 15.
Yeah, that we give we do like a at Florida Victorious, we do like a Thursday. You get to ask questions to guys. Then now the guys are picking their favorite question, and the person this week we had, or last week we had Jaden, and I told the person, I was like, you just got like an NFL signature.
Yeah.
Don't know if we can say that for everyone, but like, you just got a Jaden Woods autographed Gator helmet. Like, that kid's gonna be in the league for a while.
I think everybody on that defense is gonna play in the NFL.
Yeah. Tyreek Sapp, Devin Moore, Miles Graham, Jaden Robinson, Jaden Woods are five of your top seven defenders. Sharif Denson and Brian Taylor were the other two. I think all of those guys are top three round NFL players. Maybe not Jaden Robinson. We'll see.
And it was either Corey or Jordan mentioned it. Like, I think Cormani had a little bit of an off game in coverage wise, almost had a crazy pick in the end zone. Ball just came out. He's going to keep getting tested because that's on film now. And Devin Moore is playing great. Like, Devin Moore is looking like what we thought he would be after we saw him freshman year, finally healthy, knocking on this table. But like, I think Cormani will bounce back. Worry about is after them. Like, without Dijon Johnson, you get super young after them.
Yeah. Rob S., he is a member of our channel. So Jordan Castell was ranked 11th best player. So I only went through the top seven, but that's where he was. 14 is not playing.
I think he's with the question mark as Castell. And yeah, I think Castell's going to play in the NFL. He's going to get, I don't know where he gets drafted, but he's going to get a shot, bro. He's, DBs are certain intangibles that he has, bro. I don't know if he's really hit his peak here as a Gator, but if you start for the University of Florida for 3 years, my brother in Christ, you're gonna get a shot at the NFL for sure.
Yeah, I do want to give. Let's see, just looking through here, leading the team in stops, Jaden Woods with 4, Miles Graham with 4, Jaden Robinson 3, Tyreek Sapp with 3 there. Interceptions, Jordan Castell gets 1. Devin Moore, that's an NFL interception right there.
That boy made money on that play. Boy, you hear me?
Yeah, I mean, that is a – when you see him drafted, that's a first highlight type of interception there. From his back pedal to the read, to the leap, to the return, just an incredible – job by Devin Moore there. I know some people weren't sure about him. Obviously, he's had some injuries at the University of Florida. He keeps playing the way that he does. That's a first round DB right there.
Yeah, I had a text from a coach I know that after the game, what time was this? 8:15 on Saturday. 94-5-28 had NFL tape today.
94-5 and who else?
28. So Sapp, Miles Devin Graham, Moore, Devin
Miles
Moore.
Kirk. Yeah. Miles Graham, man, he's going to go down as one of the best if he can keep.
100%.
Keep going. Is Gates out for the season, Nick?
It was reported that he had shoulder surgery. He was he's in a sling. He's in a sling with the pad that keeps your shoulder from moving. So, yeah. Would say that. Someone else asked if Caleb Banks is out. He had foot surgery. He's in a hard cast. It's October 6th.
Out. Is Pup Howard hurt? Other than ego against Miami, he's not on the injury report. So I think the Gators who they have at linebacker, and I think that we talked about that earlier this year, is you're going to have your starters.
Yeah, he missed all or most of spring with an injury that needed surgery, and then I think he had another injury, which kept him out for a lot of the fall. So, just Jaden. I mean, Miles Graham would have played next to him, would have been 5 and 10, but I think Jaden Robinson is just kind of taking that role.
I mean, they play a lot in a nickel, right? So they usually only have two linebackers mm-hmm. out there at any particular time. So I don't think you're gonna sit Miles and Jaden Robinson. I think he's been playing really well this year. I think Jaden Robinson. Miles Graham has really stepped up this year, but I think going back into last season, Jaden Robinson is definitely a 1B linebacker on this team.
For sure. Pulling up the total plays. Miles Graham played 44 of how many? 44 of 60. Jaden Robinson played 39. Yeah.
Yeah. Just going through here. Devin Moore only allowed 2 receptions on 6 targets. Saw a lot of Michael Carraway for the first time. Oh, and then, yeah, Cormani allowed 5 receptions on 7 targets for 118 yards. Probably could have been worse, but it wasn't, right? We say that a lot. It's like, oh, there's people running open, but, you know, it's a whole defense. It's not just one guy. So, you know, fantastic job by the defense there. Could have had a Cormani interception to end the game. Which would have been awesome, but the ball touched. By the way, that Texas screen where the ball touched the ground, is it because the ball didn't move as it was in his hands touching the ground? I think everybody around me thought, yeah, is that what it was, Nick?
Yeah, you can have. So he had possession of the ball, caught it. This is what they deem. They deem that he caught the ball, had possession, then the ball hits the ground. And it didn't move after that.
Gotcha.
So if you have the ball, they deem that the ball didn't come out and that the ground didn't help him catch the ball. It wasn't gotcha. Trapped, okay. And then the ball didn't move it. So
you can actually use the ground to catch the ball as long as it don't move. I learned that the Florida State game, right? Like there's a touchdown caught by Florida State's player where he uses the ground to trap it, but it didn't move. So I think that's a new rule where you can technically trap it. If the ball doesn't move, did you watch that game?
Your hands would have to be under it.
No, sir.
Where
I'll show you the replay.
I'll show you the replay. They're trying to rig some stuff up, if you ask me.
Let me see if I can find a replay, bro, and I'll send it to Dan. But you could trap the ball long as it doesn't move. That's what happened that game.
Yeah, Scott mentioned it. It happened against Georgia, like. 6 years ago, like the 2019 Florida Georgia game, that happened there too. But not being there, just like me, not knowing the rule 3-3-5. You know, I didn't know what was being talked about. You know, it was being talked about. But Gators win, huge game. Gators head into Texas A&M next week. We're gonna have a couple shows this week. We're going to be cognizant of time. Corey's got to leave here in the not too distant future. Corey, you and I are going to do a Thursday show again.
Yeah, let's do it, man. The okay. list.
Jordan, you're more than welcome to join, obviously. And then we'll do
I might pull up.
We'll do Friday, game day eve. We'll figure out the timing there. Nick's got to fly to College Station, beautiful College Station, Texas. So we might do something a little off kilter there. But I mean, ultimately, good to win, you know, good to win. Any final thoughts? I mean, kind of wrapping up the show today, a little bit early, but we'll kind of wrap up here.
Yeah. No final thoughts, man. Just, you know, enjoy the wins, whatever wins we do get. We're off of one game. So, you know, we can't at the minimum, we match Florida State stinkness, but I think we got at least a few more in us from what I saw this past weekend. So, we won't be a 2-win program, so celebrate that for now. Take it all week by week, bro. Like, don't, you know.
Florida's beating Florida State.
Yeah, I don't think Florida State's a good football team.
No.
I want to see what Texas is by the end of the season as well, right?
I think Texas is a 4 or 5 loss team, man.
100%. Yeah. More towards the 5. We'll see. They lucky Mateer's out for Oklahoma. They would get absolutely cooked.
That defensive line from Oklahoma is about to set up a whole on campsite in Texas's backyard or backfield.
100%.
Andres Rodriguez asked a question. What does this win do for Billy? Want to hear your guys' opinion. My opinion is it does absolutely nothing. Billy Napier is the head coach at the University of Florida. I think that he was going to be the head coach at the University of Florida. Win or loss, you know, outside of a 70-0 loss, I think that Billy Napier is going to be your head coach for the next little bit of time. Obviously, the players play for him, seem to like him. He's very much got an us against the world mentality right now, which the world is undefeated against the us mentality. But
that's facts, bro. That's facts.
The world is undefeated. In the us versus the world. But, you know, Billy Napier will still be here. I think that there's some winnable games. Right now, the Gators, 8.5 still, Nick, is that where we're at against Texas A&M as underdogs?
Let's see if it's moved anywhere.
Vegas moved something. That line went real close. I think it was
the Texas line was down. Yeah, it went down to 3.5 before kick. Real quick, where did Brian Taylor come from? Taylor was just a kid from Houston. Big week for him. Went to a Mississippi junior college before finding his way to Florida. I believe this is his last year of eligibility.
This is his third year at Florida. He redshirted his first year. I think he was like a day of signee. Like, you didn't know that he was going to be in the recruiting class a couple years ago, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, from talking to people there, I forget who found him, but they, like, the recruiting staff got just, like, a call. They're like, hey, by the way, we have an official visitor coming, like, a day before he showed up. Kind of, like, late in the process kind of deal. Oh, never mind. Yeah, line's moved, Dan.
We've dropped. I have 7.5.
7.5. I think
it's 7.5 from 8.5 over under 46.5. Outright winner, Texas A&M -325, Gators +250. So,
yeah, I'm with Dan. I don't think the win does anything. It just is what it is at this point. We'll see it all plays out. I do think Florida's, me and Dan talked about this on the coaching show. I do think Florida's invested in football. I don't think there's a lack of like interest in making this program successful, but there is a such thing as a bad investment. Like, you can be invested in some things and spending money, but it could also be going to the wrong situations. You know, bad investments is a thing. So we'll see if, you know, Florida corrects this course as far as that investment as the season plays out.
Which leads us to Dan's Life Wallet stock update of the week.
Oh boy.
Speaking of bad investment,
let's go to Robinhood real quick, Nick. Let's see what we got. Miami looks like a program right now, though.
Program.
Don't love that.
Yeah, that's what not hiring a G5 coach gets you, man.
Fortunately for Life Wallet, despite their best efforts, they are officially over a dollar again, which means that they can stick around on the NASDAQ until they have to do another reverse stock split. Over the last year, though, if you're wondering,
they're Life down. Wallet 90. Is Billy Napier. Just can't go away.
If you're wondering, over the last year, they're down 96.8%. And if you're wondering, how does a stock continuously go down 96% every year and stick around? It's, you just do these reverse stock splits. But I mean, what an abomination of a stock.
All right,
man. Glad you're diversified, Dan.
All right. Well, Corey's got to get out of here in the next few minutes. Jordan.
Oh, I got song of the week.
What?
I got song of the week.
I haven't had song of the week in like 6 weeks, but I'll let you have it. let's do two quick ad reads. The title of the show is going to be Sunbelt Billy and the Boys. Shout out to Dick. excited to go to war with you. So let's see. Oh, and then we did get a super chat earlier. I want to give Sam Adams, one of my favorite beers, a shout out here. I fear Dallas and VB3 next season, like every freshman that broke out, will get dimmed down next season. I hope not.
Don't do that to me.
Right, coach. Dallas Wilson is a dog, and so is VB3. So looking forward to seeing them hopefully continue in the orange and blue. With that being said, stick around for our Thursday show and for our Friday show. Two quick ad reads, and then we'll get you out of here. One time for the boys over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Get a cool cup like this one, the one Jordan has there as well. Nick has one, but he's too busy looking for his next sea shanty. Go visit. There you are. I like that one, Corey. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 for 15% off of your order. And finally, go visit Alumni Hall right in Gainesville, right off of Archer Road, by the Chick-fil-A with three drive-thrus, not the one across the street, 500 feet, that only has two drive-thrus. It's going to be right there on the north side of the road. Go visit them. If you've gone to Zaxby's, you've gone too far. Go to Alumni Hall. Go visit them at alumnihall.com. Anything that you could want for the Florida Gator fan in your life. We're in October, so that means it's Christmas season. Christmas starts October 1st. Christmas season starts October 1st. So go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. Corey, Jordan, you guys going to be up there for the Mississippi State game?
Yes, it's homecoming. Yep.
What date is that?
It's the 15th? No. The 18th is the day. Ooh. October 18th.
Whew. My anniversary is the 17th. I'll let you know, brother.
That's my mom's birthday. Oh, wow. Word. Two goats celebrating on the same day.
Well, three, if you include Gucci Man as well.
No. Like, what is that? No, Gucci Man's birthday?
Yes.
Album 1017, baby.
He's got a nice cream cone tattooed on his face.
Nick, what are your thoughts on the new Taylor Swift album?
Gucci is one of the most influential rappers of all time, bro. Like his influence is right up there with like Tupac and Biggie on the lowest of keys.
Do you think he's still alive? A lot of people thought he was murdered. And
he may be cloned. That may be a clone. Who knows? He's a little too, like respectful.
Hey, give me the tinfoil. Let's get into it.
Gucci Man, I got to read it into this. Gucci Man was murdered and there's a clone?
Yeah. He came out of prison looking very skinny. Came out of prison skinny. People don't think it's him.
Huh. Yeah.
He started doing rants on Twitter.
Interesting. I've got to read. I've got an entire night ahead of me to reach about Gucci Man. All right, Nick.
I stand on that take, man. Gucci is just as influential as like Tupac and Biggie. You gotta check the Little Babies, the Future. Like his tree is absolutely insane. Of the rappers that came off of the Gucci Man tree, it goes all the way down to Migos. It goes crazy, but his influence is absolutely stupid, for sure.
Somebody asked Gucci if they could go pound for pound, and Gucci said, no, we're going to go M for M. How about that, Jordan? Yeah,
y'all got to get y'all rap knowledge. I know people are thinking that take is crazy, and they're like, Tupac, stop that. Like, I say it's up there, the influence. These kids don't know who Tupac is right now. Another thing, that's like our age. Yeah, you ask my son about Tupac, he's going to get you crazy. Right.
Yeah, I saw you talking about NBA YoungBoy, and I'm just like, I know
the biggest rapper out.
I know who he is, but couldn't tell you a song.
It's a lot of politics of why he's not mainstream. Well, first of all, he makes very violent music, but that's not always the case. But he's independent, and they shadow ban him a lot of ways. But these kids, bro, like you go look at his YouTube views. They try to make Drake because it's cookie cutter, and he seems like the biggest rapper. In rap right now is NBA YoungBoy. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. I interviewed 14 kids. Everyone that come on this show, we ask them what they listen to. They all say NBA YoungBoy. I interviewed 14 kids in Miami. 14 for 14. This last week, they all said NBA. They'll add in a Rod Wave, but every last one of them said NBA YoungBoy.
There's always the others receiving votes, Rod Wave, but
right, NBA is gonna be there every time. Look out for some. I'm gonna give y'all a little sneak peek, but look out for some content with NBA YoungBoy in a Florida, South Florida ball player from the Flow Factory soon.
Ooh,
yeah, it's a little sneak peek for the Stadium and Gale audience.
Is he a South Florida guy?
Nice one, Louisiana, NBA? New Orleans.
He's from Louisiana. Yeah.
He's from the boot.
No, Nick, he's from the NBA.
Yeah, NBA means, just for the ones who don't know, never broke again. NBA young boy means never broke again.
Yeah, he never played.
What do you guys think of Melly Mike and his impact on rap music?
Melly Mike?
Young, black, and rich.
His influence on Broward was huge, man. What the rap game? All right, I got to go, man. What are we doing here?
Nick, what do we got?
We got Song of the Week is What You Got by Quail P.
Quail, you like Quail?
Q-U-A-I-L.
I don't know who that is. My first time hearing it.
Little Rhythm and Blues.
Okay. That's my bag now.
No sea shanties. Rhythm and Blues.
Black Pine Labs, great win, guys. Sorry for acting on the Discord Saturday, Nick. Once you asked if I was 1776, I had to clean it up.
Appreciate you joining. Appreciate you being in the Discord.
Baton Rouge. I take that back. Yeah, not New Orleans. Baton Rouge. Shout out to that.
All right, boys. Well, we'll see you at the same corner, same time Thursday. We'll see you on Friday. We appreciate everybody for hanging out. Huge win by the Gators. Sunbelt Billy and the boys are back.
There we go.
Horns down. We'll see you.